You want to start out with a Greek vocabulary lesson? Does that warm your heart? Hypokrites. Hypokrites. Now, if I say that word really carefully, you can practically hear the Greek term that is almost what a language guy would call a cognate. Hypokrites. Are you hearing a word in there? The word has a history of development. It's a noun. Early definition of the word was really, however, a verb meaning to explain or to answer or to expound. And then that word, hypokrites, became associated with the idea of acting, which was a big part of Greek and Roman culture. In the Greek arts, the actor was the interpreter, the explainer of the poet or the chorus or of whatever was going on. And the Greeks in this recognized that the actor was playing a part, maybe many parts, and that part was removed from reality. On the Greek stage, the actor often worked in order to portray his part. He worked under, hupo in the Greek, under a mask. And the mask helped him to project an assumed persona. Classic Greek thought, the idea of the hypokrites is never either good or bad. I mean, the actor is simply playing the part and he wears his mask to portray an image that isn't real. But by the time that Jesus of Nazareth had come on the scene to heal the sick and to preach the kingdom, the term hypocrite had come to be uniformly damning. Nobody wanted to be called. Nobody then, nobody now wanted to be thought of as a hypocrite. Hypokrites. Why did Jesus accuse the Pharisees and the scribes of acting and of moving behind a mask? And 20 centuries later, what does this wearing the mask have to do with so-called Christian worship? Well, let's dig into that now in the Gospel of Mark and the 7th chapter. We're going to look at the first 13 verses. We could chase this topic even further in this evening's chapter. Mark 17, verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him, the Lord Jesus, when they had come from Jerusalem, and seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. When they came from the marketplace, they did not eat unless they had cleansed themselves. There are many other things which they had received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?" And he said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men.'" He's also saying to them, "You are experts in setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban, that is, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your traditions, which you have handed down, and you do many such things as this.'" The term hypocrite, it only occurs here in Mark, but it occurs 20 times across the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke, and any time you find it is never a good thing. So what does wearing a mask, hypocrites, what does that have to do with living the Christian life? Well, tonight I want to make 3 points from this brief text in Mark chapter 7. First 5 verses, the Pharisees worshipped from behind the mask. Verses 6 through 13, Jesus came to rip off the mask. And then this application for all of us, you need to remove your mask. The Pharisees worshipped from behind the mask. Jesus came to rip off the mask. And you and I need to remove our masks. So Jesus quite clearly accused the Pharisees of worshiping from behind a mask, those first 5 verses. So here's a bunch of guys surrounding the Lord Jesus that simply lived behind the mask. They lived to convince others that they were something that they really weren't. Now, who are these guys more specifically? Well, from verse 1, they are the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, the scribes were, I would call them Jewish religious professionals. You might say they were legal religious specialists. And specifically with respect to the law of the Torah, the first 5 books of your Old Testament. And so from generation to generation, the scribes preserved and taught the tradition of the rabbis. And by the time we find ourselves in the middle of the first century, that was quite a tradition. The rabbis had divided the Mosaic law found again in the Torah into 613 separate decrees. 365 could be classified as prohibitions. No, you don't. And 248 could be classified as directives. You must. I mean, who could live that way? I couldn't keep track of that many rules. So there are the scribes, and with them there are the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were a first century religious sect. They were separatists who tried to maintain the appearance of living according to those 613 separate interpretations developed by the scribes. And that was their life. So as we read this text, Mark is opening a window for us into the lives of the Pharisees here in verses 3 and 4, which is kind of a parenthetic note in the Greek text. Let's look at that again. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, that would be the leaders of the Jews, do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they've come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. What a life! The Pharisees carefully washed their hands after every meal. And to be really clear, we're not talking about personal hygiene here, right? The Pharisees and the scribes are fixated on Jewish ceremonial cleanliness derived from an over strict interpretation of the Old Testament. So when they return from some kind of busy, bustling public marketplace, this would be their nagging concern. What if while I was out there, I accidentally touched something unclean? I mean, what if I touched it and didn't even know it? So when they returned from the market, they were extremely careful to cleanse themselves. And in addition to that basic fear, they had rules concerning the ritual washings of all of their cookware, their cups, their pitchers, and their copper kettles. In the days of Jesus, as we read here in Mark chapter 7, the scribes had taught the tradition of the elders orally spoken word. But within the years that followed after the time of the Gospels, these oral traditions would be codified in a collection of rabbinical traditions that live until today called the Mishnah. Here's an example from the Mishnah, since we're on the topic of cleanliness and cookware. The Mishnah has 30 chapters devoted to just washing cooking vessels. How much can you really write about washing the dishes? 30 chapters? By the way, Mark tells us something else here about the Pharisees. They hated Jesus. These finicky religious perfectionists hated Jesus. In fact, as early in this gospel as Mark chapter 3, We're told that they were beginning to build alliances in opposition to him with groups that would normally be their enemies, groups that they normally wouldn't give the time of day to. But you know the old deal, you know, if you and I... They were there in order to destroy him. Can you still catch me up on the... Okay. I'll stay close. Because they hated him, they were watching every move that he made. So when he came out of Gennesaret, you know, we talked about Gennesaret last week, there behind the Sea of Galilee where Jesus healed everybody he could practically find. When he came out of Gennesaret, now he's probably in Capernaum, this hostile troop of religious actors gather together from Jerusalem and surround him. And Mark makes note of the fact that they have come from Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem, the city of David, right? It's the home of the temple. It's the scene of the feast. It's the headquarters for the Sanhedrin, the council. Jerusalem is the seat of Jewish Orthodox. And so these Jewish leaders come from Jerusalem down to Capernaum in order to interrogate and hopefully to entrap this teacher from Galilee. The Pharisees lived behind the mask, and now they attack the Son of God from behind the mask. Verse 2 tells us that they had spied out some, now not all, but some of Jesus' disciples eating without this ceremonial washing, and to their way of thinking, that was unthinkable. I mean, how could the followers of any self-respecting Jewish rabbi diss the painfully clear directives to wash your hands before eating? So by the time we come to verse 5, they are poking their finger in Jesus' chest and they are attacking him with this scathing indictment. Why? Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands? Because after all, if there is something wrong with the followers, there is something wrong with the leader. But with all of this talk about rules and regulations and legalism, why are we accusing the Pharisees of hypocrisy? I mean, we could dwell at length on these hundreds of man-made rules that they layer on top of the Torah. But that is more of an issue of legalism than of pretense. I mean, as we use it today and as Jesus used it in his day, hypocrisy has more to do with genuineness and honesty or the lack of it than it had to do with the rules that you followed. And so here is the answer. The rule is the hallmark of the Pharisee. The hypocrisy, however, is this. We see the Pharisees' mask in that in claiming a life of piety and pure worship, through appealing to these man-made rules, they are simply using their legalism as a pretense, an excuse for trapping and destroying the perfect Son of Man. And so the Pharisees lived and worshiped and schemed from behind the mask. And Jesus came to rip off the mask. Let's read verse 6 again. And Jesus said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites." And that's a carefully worded answer, right? "You hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of man.'" And so he just looks them right in the eye and he says, "You hypocrites." I mean, that word just makes me squirm. I mean, do you ever worry about that? That maybe you're a hypocrite? I don't like that idea. Well, I've spoken about it at length already, but let's stop here for just a second and let's hear maybe a more developed and succinct definition of the word. My source is Willem Hendrickson. Hendrickson writes, "The hypocrite
is the man who hides or tries to hide his real intentions under a mask of simulated virtue. A mask of simulated virtue. And so as Jesus responded to the Jews that surrounded him, he appealed to the prophet and then to the law, to Isaiah and to Moses, to begin to pull off the mask from the Pharisees. So he first quotes the prophet Isaiah there in verses 6, 7, and 8, and we've just read that. The Pharisees had fired off this question that dealt with washing, but Jesus' very direct, almost harsh response makes no mention at all of their original question. He doesn't address this idea of basins of water and bars of soap and clean linen towels. Instead, he immediately, directly brands them as hypocrites, and then he underlines his accusation by quoting Isaiah 29. It appears in my text as four lines of Hebrew poetry, each one in parallel in some way with the other. And so Jesus says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Every line of that short piece of the prophet is an indictment against hypocrisy, with their lips, as if to say with their lips alone. Hearts far away from me, when hearts should be warm with sincerity. In vain they worship. But true worship is never in vain. The precepts of men, as opposed to the very Word of God. Jesus is speaking of the mask of worship. Words that others hear from our lips that seem to honor God, but underneath the covering of those words is a heart that is far removed. I mean, there is this sense of distance in verse 7 that is almost palpably redundant. A heart far away from its Lord. And when the indictment is against the heart, don't forget that both in the Hebrew and in the Greek idea of the heart, it never limits itself to the emotions. The heart is not just the Valentine place in your life in the first century Greek thought or Roman thought or the previous Hebrew thought. The heart is all that we are. And so Jesus, with this indictment, is exposing the entire moral man, all that we really are on the inside. And why was there worship from the inside out? Why was it in vain? What was the mask that Jesus rips from their face? Verse 7, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as precepts the doctrine of men." Hypocrites worship in vain because they add this to the law, the principles of men. Verse 8, "Hypocrites worship in vain because they neglect the commands of God to this end, so that they can cling to the traditions of mere men." The religious actor's mask is this. It is this outer show of obedience to a set of man-made rules with no inner sincere concern for the very Word of God or the God who gave it. The actor's storyline is this. "Hey, look at me. I'm holy." Now that the mask is off, Jesus turns the full force of the spotlight of the law of Moses on what lay exposed underneath it. And so Jesus seems to escalate his counterattack beginning in verse 9. He was also saying to them, in addition to this, "You are experts at setting aside the commandments of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, you hypocrites, 'If a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have would be given to you, is given to God,' you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many such things as that." Verse 9, you nicely, it's the idea of beautifully, you beautifully set aside the commandment of God, and Jesus isn't giving them a compliment. That is biting sarcasm. Verse 8, the commandment of God is neglected. In verse 9, it's set aside. You ever do that? You ever deliberately ignore the clear commands of God in order to maintain your lifestyle and your personal comfort zone? Yeah, me too. Well, he's already quoted the prophet Isaiah. Now he's quoting Moses. It's the fifth command of the Decalogue, the 10 words. Verse 10. Moses said, honor your father and your mother. He who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. Exodus 21 and 17 are quoted. Exodus 20, verses 12, and Leviticus 19, verses 3. Israel's fundamental laws about honoring family, honoring parents, even a death sentence on those who ignore these words. Being a son or a daughter is serious business, right? And by the way, don't miss that Jesus is talking to adult sons here. Well, but with that word but, between the law of Moses and the behavior of the Pharisees, Jesus is drawing this line in the sand. I mean, you see it. It's the line between what Moses said and therefore what God said in verse 10, and between what the Pharisees and the scribes said back in verses 11 and 12. That line had to cut deep. The rabbis were focused on ceremonial washing. They had other interests too, Jesus said. The scribes and the Pharisees were fascinated with the topic of vows and about anything that had to do with the temple and its life and its upkeep. And a dangerous practice had come out of these interests. It's called the vow of Corban. Corban is from a Hebrew term that describes a gift set aside to God in the context of a vow. And Mark explains what that is there in verse 11. He did something like it back in verses 3 and 4. But with this idea of Corban or the vow and setting something aside for God, there was this insidious loophole in the tradition. If you had a possession that should have been earmarked to care for your parents, you could declare that sum to be Corban, given to God. And since you had given it, you had dedicated it to God, you could evade your fifth commandment obligation to use it to help and to honor your parents. But it got even better than that. Because once you had tagged it with the tag of Corban, dedicated to God instead of helping my parents, once you had tagged it that way so that it couldn't be used for your parents, you were then free to use it any which way you pleased. It was an awful loophole. And it was being used to dishonor families. And so what were these hypocrites doing? They were invalidating one of God's most fundamental rules for the life and the families of Israel and replacing it with their own traditions. Insidiously selfish traditions. And if you read Jesus carefully, according to him, this is just one awful example of many, many others. Oh yeah, the Pharisees lived and worshiped from behind the mask. And then they made a mistake. They made the mistake of pointing their finger at Jesus. And Jesus reached out and pulled the mask right off their face. This is more than just a New Testament story. You and I have masks at times that we need to remove. And so if you come in and out of church and out into your week and you are trying to impress people around you with a man-made set of moral and religious rules, you need to stop. The hypocrite's mask of insincere obedience sets itself at odds with the Word of God. I mean, think about that. You can follow this thought through our text with me. Verse 7, God's teachings are added to. Verse 8, God's commandments are neglected. Verse 9, God's commandments set aside. Verse 11, God's commandments countermanded. Verse 12, God's laws forbidden. Verse 13, therefore God's word invalidated. And that's not just the Pharisees, beloved. If you are living in a way that subtracts from God's commands, changes God's commands, or even adds to His words, then you are carving a mask for yourself. And the hypocrite's mask hides a heart that is anything but lovely. I mean, what is it? What does that mask of hypocrisy really look like? Well, it looks hollow. It looks hollow. I mean, it looks just like religion on the outside, but it holds no sincere interest for God or man on the inside. And that's really Jesus' fundamental point when he quoted Isaiah. It is hollow and it is man-made. It is a man-made mask. It has no basis in the Word of God. So how did Jesus know that the Pharisees were hypocrites? It's because their rules were homemade and not Bible-made. And so it's hollow and it's man-made and it is really strenuous. I mean, living like this is a lot of work. I mean, think about how elaborate and grueling all of those rules had to be. It's a lot of work and it is intrusive and unloving. Hypocrisy is unloving and intrusive. It forces itself on others. Can you imagine having one of these Pharisees as your next door neighbor? Better keep your yard mowed, your trash picked up, and your dog behind the fence. These are the same Pharisees. You see them standing around Jesus, poking their finger in his chest, trying to trap him with their regulations for washing their hands. They're dishonest. Hypocrisy is dishonest, really, right? It's the mask over the heart. Again, Jesus, sad example of Corban, keeping some contrived vow to create a loophole by which we avoid doing fundamental good to God and to one another. And then throwing up our hands in righteous indignation when somebody breaks one of our little rules, all the while, in the example of the Pharisees, seeking the death of the righteous one. God seeks spirit and truth worshipers. Sincerity that is the opposite of hypocrisy. Truth that doesn't need man-made additions. He wants sincerity instead of pretense. Pretense does not satisfy God. He wants a pure heart instead of wrong motives. Nobody wants to be a hypocrite. Let's take off our masks. Let's pray. Father, we ask for the great grace to turn and to follow Christ, not just at the beginning, but from the beginning, day by day. Give us grace, Lord, for sincere and obedient hearts, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, knowing that your ways and not our ways are right. Father, may our lives be genuine, and may they be godly. In Jesus' name, amen.